For this close look of Shaniqua Gay's installation, Holding Space for Nobility, a memorial for Breonna Taylor, I focus on the image of a reposing hybrid Breonna Taylor / zebra floating above an altar of delicate black glassware. At once I see weight and weightlessness. I see presence and absence in the spaces between the zebra stripes. I also see her direct gaze outward toward those gazing back at her image. In repose, she is awake. Is it that she can't rest? I know that feeling of being alert, even in rest and during the ordinary, mundane things as sleeping or walking or grocery shopping, of learning to watch those watching me. It is a self-policing born of preservation taught when I was young by my elders. Yes, I recognize that look, that watchfulness for the mundane that can explode unexpectedly into something other. For her, it was sleeping in her home. For me, it can be browsing through a store under the overly watchful eyes of store managers and detectives being followed, or standing with my mother at a display case in a major New York City department store and wondering why the other female customer, who had kind of been eyeing us, finally moved her purse away from me. I was only a child. Or more recently, grocery shopping when a fellow shopper freaked out when my stepdad mistook her cart for ours. Initially, I tried to engage her, the fellow shopper, in humor, but she didn't see the humor. Her continued and escalated shouts turned eyes toward my father and me. I became hyper aware of the gaze of others. For the freaked out woman was white, and I and my father are black. Funny, I didn't see our race before then, but I sure did when a crowd began to gather. The mostly white customers did look toward my father and I in sympathy, but not one came to our defense, nor tried to quell the situation over an unpurchased cart mix-up. The mundane suddenly got real, as I had to police my reaction and growing fear over what was happening. I had to quickly figure out how to gentle this woman out of her rage. Even if I was justified, if I blew up in an equally human way, I knew how the gaze toward me would shift. I would become just another angry black woman, and that never ends well. For it becomes the justification for everything, obliterates any sympathy I might have gained, and mitigates the original offense to my person. This is not unusual. The implication for Ms. Taylor's death was that she was somehow engaged in some illicit doings and therefore brought about her demise in some way. Black victims are always guilty of something. Would a store manager see the silliness of this situation? Or would my father and I be subjected to store authorities and then escalate to the authorities of police just based on this woman's shouts directed at us? Not a funny situation anymore. It was summer during a protest for George Floyd, another victim of police violence, after a store clerk alleged he had tried to float a counterfeit $20 bill. Would I be the next headline, a gaze on a wall, a symbol for a movement when all I wanted to do is simply lead my anonymous life by shopping for milk and eggs? Did Breonna Taylor, who at 26 years old shares the exact same birthday as my younger cousin, whose birthday is one day after mine, ever think her life would end like this? So publicly and awfully. That is what it can mean to be Black in America, to have life unexpectedly interrupted at any time, any place. That gaze on Brianna. Is it solidarity? I feel the weight I see on the wall. This is heavy, as in heavy in my heart, my soul. I write this with tears in my eyes as I start to have misgivings about volunteering for this exercise because of the unexpected stuff this installation stirs. I am a Black woman, a New York-born descendant, or as Miss Gay termed it, which I like better, an ascendant of Black people in North Carolina, from people enslaved in Jim Crow. I grew up listening to my exiled grandmother and grandfather speaking of their great love for North Carolina, yet they felt they had to leave their home and families because they knew that the constant threat of racial violence and racial restrictions that dictated where they could or couldn't live or walk or talk to would never let me live to see children. That's a direct quote from my grandfather. Heavy. So I cannot look at this piece and not have a visceral reaction. Wait. I am uncomfortable because I feel the double consciousness burden of completing this exercise. I can't just respond to the art without referencing the weight behind why this particular art comes to exist in this space in the first place. To respond authentically, through my truth, I must expose my position, which makes others uncomfortable, because I must wonder why we must die violently before we are seen and represented in such a hyper-visual way in this space or any space. Are Black artists and artistry, Black people, only valid when we die in this very American way? Miss Gay's installation is gorgeous, supple, beautiful, and especially brilliant. She is a powerful visual artist and deserves to be seen as such. Yet, one can't escape that the reason that Miss Taylor graces these walls is not an aberration, but baked into the fabric that extends beyond and encompasses her, me, and all of us. That to exist in the mainstream U.S. context, and I am using historian and author Dr. Ibram X. Kendi's definition of the American body politic that defaults to white, I must lie to absolve the American body politic's involvement in Black death. For the carceral institutions responsible for Miss Taylor's death was seated in the institution of slavery, but given life, ironically, in its abolition, when the ratification of the 13th Amendment included loopholes that ensured that de facto slavery would continue through the criminalization of Black people for doing such things as loitering or just being poor. It still serves a purpose. Prison labor still provides the comforts of our existence, as it did then when a country emerging from a devastating civil war realized that they still needed the labor of the people they just released from bondage. Heavy. Indeed. Unpacking this image would take a lifetime. I've probably already exceeded my allotment. The combination of the human and animal form, as explained by Miss Gay, quelled my first reaction, negative reaction, of why someone would depict Brianna Taylor as half animal. Again, I am responding to history and experience. Black women have variously been deemed the mules of labor. Mule, a hybrid animal tasked with grueling and thankless work. It was enough to prompt the Black female abolitionist Sojourner Truth to ask, "Aren't I a woman? Aren't I a woman?" as she recounted the ways in which the protections afforded through that era's cult of motherhood and womanhood didn't extend to her when she was in bondage. It couldn't. She was too lucrative for her dual worth in gold, to work in the fields like a man, and for her body to manufacture more Black bodies to fuel free labor. Today, the specter of this haunts the ways in which Black women don't receive the same palliative care in healthcare facilities, whose recompense in the labor market still lags behind everyone else, and who can be surveilled and killed with the same dismissive regards as men, all while still achieving and excelling in a constellation of fields, marching and organizing and building and working and raising children and communities, and delivering votes for a president and vice president. The often silent, essential, yet thankless work. So I didn't get the artist's choice initially. In my own research, I learned that animals don't sleep with their stomachs exposed, as it is the most vulnerable part of their bodies. I have learned that if they do, it is a sign of trust that they feel completely safe. Hybrid Briona is depicted belly up. Juxtaposing this knowledge with Miss Gay's explanation, quote, that zebras are unable to sleep unless a herd member is standing guard and awake, end quote, I realized Gay has made a space where conjoining the animal and human pulls from other traditions with positive and even sacred energy. Breonna Taylor, in the visual image, is completely safe, though she was robbed of that in life. She, this image, took me by the hand and led me to leave behind the mostly negative connotations so embedded in my experiential learning of what it means to be Black and female, and my constant fight to prove the humanity and vulnerability of the Black female body. I was led to a devout space, a space of healing, a space where I can lay the sword down, so to speak, where one can mourn, meditate, rethink, remake, rebirth. Yet, we are reminded of how fleeting and delicate this space is. The heavy weightlessness of Miss Taylor's form floats above the delicate and, by comparison, dwarfed altar of Tiara Glass. Is it memorial or sacrificial offering? Also, is it a statement that life, particularly Black life, is ever floating above glass? It prompts me to wonder if the walls hold enough space for the inevitable others that will follow. In fact, as I write this, I have just turned away from a news report of another mistaken identity police raid on a Black woman's home, this time in Chicago. She is a professional like Breonna, a social worker in a hospital who after work comes home to prepare for a bed. Instead, confused and terrified, she keeps repeating they've made a mistake as the police don't offer her cover, but handcuff her naked. Surrounded by all male white officers, she is naked in every sense of the word. I have to cut off the image because, oddly, it reminds me of old lithograph of women on slave blocks with people indifferent to their exposure as they investigate, intrude, offer no cover, no aid nor protection. The woman in Chicago counts her blessings that she is alive. I guess humiliation and her lost sense of safety is better than death. In closing, this installation took me through an internal journey in which I had to confront and question internal and external truths, place, spatiality, what it means to be different identities of Black and female and American, as I have experienced walking in this body as Black first, female second, and American last, as others see me. If one questions that truth, I posit this. How would you feel if you were subjected to hearing, "Go back to Africa," at various times in your life? The installation also made me ruminate and leave on the altar amongst that delicate glass a hope and a calling. What if the world stood guard for the living Breonna Taylors as much as the dead? Where Black female lives, my life, are worth guarding as much as in the living realm as in the spiritual. How would that transform us all and lead us to a more devout, more noble place?